you dare to ask, and you speak more confidently. It's just like just now, Angie, you realize when we said not recorded, the voice is different, more confident. Okay, for the sake of the recording, today is Hari Raya Day, 4th of June, 2009. Also, 6th of June, 2nd day of Hari Raya. I make a mistake earlier. 6th of June, so 6-6-2019, Thursday class. We are having it at Pama Sri's house, Brad Thiel's house. And like I said, today is also Angie's birthday. So we already wish her. Then we rejoice. We give her the privilege to start the sharing and ask whatever she want to ask. So just how she confidently asked this topic, which is very good. She mentioned correctly, he said, as I explained, as Kayamita, we are very blessed. Your Kayamita has a lot of great attribute, great virtue, great blessings, and Dhamma understanding, which is priceless. And it's also the first step to progress along the path of Dhamma. As per the Avijja Sutta, there are 10 steps. First step is to have Dhamma friends. So as Kayamita, you sure have Dhamma friends. That is the first step. Then you have opportunity to listen to the Dhamma. That is the second step. And this one is most important. When you listen to the Dhamma, you can develop a lot of wholesomeness. First, listening to the Dhamma is one of the meritorious actions. Then you straighten your view. It is also a meritorious action. Then when you listen to the Dhamma, you can develop understanding and wisdom, especially the first turning wisdom, Sutta Panya, wisdom born of listening to the Sutta or discourse of the Buddha or the teaching of the Buddha. Then when you reflect and contemplate and inquire deep into what you have heard, you stabilize your understanding, then you can assimilate them and allow it to stabilize in your heart. That is the second turning wisdom. So from Sutta-maya Panya, it leads to Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of the second turning, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha. Then you straighten your view. You develop this initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. And that is the fourth step. But before that, when you investigate into the Dhamma, after you listen, you inquire, reflect, and contemplate, what happens is you develop this strong faith in the Buddha. Because whatever you investigate into, all the teaching, the essential Dhamma, even Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, verse 1 and 2, and all the important essential Dhamma or teaching, you realize they stand up to investigation. And when they stand up to investigation, you have faith. You become very convinced that this is the truth. That's why your faith in the Buddha and his teaching become unshakable. So that is the third step. Faith in the Triple Gem. Yeah. Then once you develop the fourth step, you are home. Because when you have the fourth step, the initial wisdom, your mind does not stir and react like before. This mind will have the stability of the initial wisdom that will allow it to be at peace with most situations in life, whomever they meet. Whatever situation that arise, they are always at peace. Their mind will not stir. Their mind will not react to sense experience like before. So they are more equanimous, more peaceful, more aware. They can see things as they are. They can accept the reality of the moment. They can be at peace with most things. That's how your mindfulness come about. You have more and more inner peace, leading to more and more moment of inner awareness, silence, then the space between thought becomes more frequent. Then you realize your mind is most of the time just aware. Without thought, there is space. It's just aware. You are not lost in thought. You are constantly aware within the moment. That's why the daily mindfulness will take off, leading to your ability to have the sati sambhajana, which is the fifth step. The moment you hit these two, you are home. When your daily mindfulness becomes very stable, sati sambhajana, you will automatically have sense restraint, because you can be very mindful, very sensitive. Then since you already understand what constitutes evil, the moment you see it arising, you know you can arise a full right effort to prevent it from arising or to abandon whatever that has arisen. And because of the initial wisdom, you can actually prevent it from arising straight away. You don't have to do the first right effort anymore, because the first right effort already over, you already done it. Otherwise, you cannot have that initial wisdom. Then after that, you will cultivate the third and fourth right effort, which is whatever wholesome thought, wholesome action, and wholesome speech that are still not in you. Then the final right effort is to refine upon them and perfect them. So all this you can do. When you do this, means you have sense restraint. All these evil root mental hindrance, they cannot arise, they cannot disturb you anymore, they cannot haunt you anymore. So this number six step become automatic. Once you have automatic sense restraint, then you are incapable of negativity. Then the three way of right conduct, right speech, right action, and right thought is also automatic. That's why the seventh step will come. Then you realize you are different now. And when you hit the seventh step, you are at least Sakadagami. Yeah. In fact, the initial wisdom, when it come out, stabilize, then your daily mindfulness come out, you can easily realize Sotapanna during that time. Yeah. And when you finish step 6 and 7, you would have realized at least Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood. That's why after that only, Avijja Sutta mentioned the 8th step, cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. Before that, you cultivate four foundation of mindfulness, it's not going to help you. You are wasting your time, because you cannot progress. Because without the initial wisdom, the daily mindfulness, you cannot do the real Satipatthana Sutta. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, it always starts with this sentence, after overcoming covetousness and grief, only you cultivate mindfulness of kaya, mindfulness of feeling, mindfulness of citta, and mindfulness of dhamma. Then the moment you go into the four foundation of mindfulness, because you already have the initial wisdom together with the stability of daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, you realize you breeze through the four foundation of mindfulness. The moment you do that, in fact, a lot of the training within the four foundation of mindfulness, you will have done it. The first kaya nupassana, you realize that anapanasati, to build up the sati or mindfulness of the in and out breath, you already have it. Otherwise, you cannot have the daily mindfulness. Then the four posture, then mindfulness of every action, every movement, everything that you do within the present moment. The third step. Also, you must have done it. Otherwise, you cannot have that stability of daily mindfulness. Then to contemplate into the four elements, the 32 part, is very simple. Through the contemplation on the essential Dhamma, the five daily contemplation, everything, it will cover these four elements and 32 part. Then even the 9 stages of cemetery contemplation, automatic, very easy. When the form is devoid of consciousness, it goes the ways of nature. Then all your lust, all your craving for form, beautiful form, luring form automatically ceases to be. Because this is illusion. This is delusion. This is not what you think. So all this self-delusion, including avijja, ignorance, all this starts to break down. Then you will realize that awakening, that wisdom, which will enable your mind to liberate and free. Then it can see clearly. That's why form delusion, mind delusion, the conditioned world, world of consciousness, they fail to have power over you. So all this understanding will just arise. Then after that, you will have the ability to understand the final summary of the First Noble Truth. The Buddha summarizes it in short. It is this fire aggregate of form and mind. When you, through delusion, self-delusion, grasp and cling onto that, it arises suffering. So the five aggregates of grasping is dukkha. So upadana khanda, dukkha. And all this will become very clear. Yeah. Then after that, when you move into mindfulness of feeling in feeling, very easy to do. Exactly as per the sutta. You will come to know how the unarising, yeah, this mental hindrance of like and dislike, sensual desire, you will come to be. Because whenever you're feeling more, if you are aware, you can be with that moment and aware that this feeling, initially is a pure feeling, has transformed into pleasant and unpleasant feeling. What is pleasant feeling? What is unpleasant feeling? Pleasant feeling is the feeling that you like. These are your sensual desire. Unpleasant feeling are the feeling that you don't like. These are your ill will. These are the first two mental hindrances. That's why you will understand clearly the Dhamma. The Buddha says, when there is this feeling, you must be aware. That feeling has become pleasant or unpleasant. You also have to be aware. Then when you are aware, you will understand how this unarisen mental hindrance come to be. And since they are mental hindrance, they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. Then you don't need to react and stir your mind like before. That's why you will come to understand very clearly through mindfulness of feeling. Then after that, you move on to the third, cittanupassana, the content of consciousness. It's the same. You can be mindful of the content of consciousness, the subtle greed, the subtle anger, emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, doubt, everything, behind the thought, the content of consciousness that you input to your views, opinion, and conditioning, and your delusion. You can see them all. That's why the Buddha says, when there is greed, you are aware. When there is anger, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, you are aware. When the mind is restless, you are aware. When the mind is spacious, calm, peaceful, boundless, you are aware. Yeah. So all these are your various mind states. When you start to do this, you prepare yourself to develop the awakening, the third turning wisdom. That's why in the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana, is all about awakening. Mindfulness of the five mental hindrance lead to wisdom awakening. Then after that, mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind, make it clearer, it will lead to awakening. Then the third category of practice of cultivation under Dhammanupassana is very important. Mindfulness of the six external sense bases and six external sense bases. This one is what daily mindfulness is all about. You will keep on seeing all this very clearly. Yeah. Then you can trace the origination factor. Before there is anger, there was no anger. How did anger arise? Before fear arise, there was no fear. How did fear arise? How did lust, craving, covetousness, possessiveness, how do they arise, the evils? So when you trace the origination factor, it's always from one of the senses. Sense or consciousness that arise, then through wrong view, you input the content. Then the mind stir and create the mental hindrance. Then you come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be, where you see it coming. Then when you straighten your view and silence your mind and don't do anything, then you realize this mental hindrance that has arisen, they will cease to be on their own. That's how, as per the sutta, I say, you will come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be. Through the third way, the meditative way, just relax, silent, aware, you will cease. That is the wisdom. Yeah. Then you're supposed to trace the origination factor. Now you trace through your wrong view, through your senses. Then retrospectively reverse it through right view, means by straightening your views. After you straighten your view, you realize the next time you see the same sense experience, you no longer react like before. You no longer stir like before. Then you realize the mental hindrance cannot arise anymore. That's how in the sutta I say you will finally come to understand how, not in the future, all these five mental hindrances, they cannot arise anymore. That's how you become awakened. Yeah. Then after that, you will develop the next category of mindfulness. You will be mindful of the seven factors of enlightenment. Because after you do the four foundation of mindfulness, the ninth step is seven factor of enlightenment. Means you know you are on the right path. Otherwise, this factor of enlightenment will not arise. These seven factors of enlightenment, sati, dhamma vichaya, then your virya, piti, then your pasati, leading to samadhi, and finally, upekha, equanimity. You will see them all. You are aware of them. Then you know you are on the right path. You know you are on the way to awakening. Means the third turning wisdom keep on arising. The understanding keep on arising. That's how you become enlightened. Mm. So this is what the four foundations of mindfulness is all about. Then the last category is after that, when you start to see the seven factor enlightenment keep on arising, then you can go into the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. At that time, you do the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Very clear to you. Very fast you awaken. Oh. Then you realize the Buddha is so wise. His teaching is so beautiful. Enlightenment in the here and the now before you die is possible. So you will understand, the form and mind will understand clearly. No more birth. The holy life has been lived. Everything has been understood. So this is how all this can actually bring about great benefit, transformation, and awakening. Mm. Then after that, I explain her question. Yeah? She mentioned this very good thing. He said, Buddhism not only gave us all this benefit, it can also give rise to mental development. Mental development is very important. But I qualify her. I say, mental development here means towards purification of mind leading to awakening or wisdom, enlightenment. So when you develop mental purification, you are not acquiring knowledge. You are not developing knowledge. Knowledge is for the academic people. Knowledge is for people who wants to use it to boost their self-esteem, to make themselves like they are very smart, very intelligent. It's for the intellectual. for the academician, or they say for scholarly spiritual people. They are more interested in theoretical Dhamma. So if you use your mind in that way, then no use. Then that mental development is not a development of the mind through awareness, through consciousness, through a stage of purification. Purification means you not only clean up the mind, you straighten your view, you develop wisdom, understanding. Then you, with the understanding, become transformed. Then you understand life clearly. You are no longer deluded. Then through the understanding, your mind becomes different. It can awaken. It can be liberated from all this. So this aspect is very important. But then the question that Angie asks is more towards the what they call the world. The world, he said, the mind is so powerful. You can use it to develop science, probe the star, the universe, all those things. Then sometimes you can also abuse this mental development, like the scientists. What do? They come up with all the very, very destructive weapon of mass destruction. You know what is weapon of mass destruction or not? Last time I seen on the road, WMD car plate, very dangerous, weapon of mass destruction. So when you acquire technology to develop all these very powerful weapons, like nuclear bomb, nuclear weapon, and even missile, even they nowadays a lot of this very sophisticated type of arms or machine gun. Then now they don't need machine gun. They can put a drone up there, very accurate. The facial recognition, they can just shoot at your brain. So all this is possible through mental development. And most of this mental development, if you go into the knowledge field, which is thought-based, it will lead to more problem than good. So your question is, how do we overcome this problem? So it's very obvious. If you develop your mind for greed, for self-esteem, to become famous, so that it can use for certain things that greedy people, violent people love. When you can assist them to produce this, they will reward you, then they will keep you. But the moment you are of no use to them, they will discard you. Then sometimes because of what you produce, it has so much destructive power. The karmic consequence of it is very severe. That's why you can see why in this world sometimes certain people with the karmic conditioning come. Why they suffer so much? They have such terrible things. It's because in the past they could have participated in all this type of nuclear research and all whatever that is harmful to the world, to mankind. So to avoid all this is not to be greedy. And not to be greedy or selfish is to have the Dhamma. Means you are here to develop the mental development, to arise the understanding, the wisdom, so that you can be transformed into a different type of human being. And you can be a blessing to all. Because once you have this wisdom or understanding born of the Buddha Dhamma, which the Buddha had taught us, we become different. Then through this, you can avoid going into the wrong path. It's just like meditation. If you do thought-based meditation, you end up in psychic ability, jhana, everything. Then if you don't know how to handle it, it will lead to its consequent. And its consequent can be very severe. You get entangled yourself to your own selfishness, delusion. Then the Mara will come and attack you. Then karmic will also hit back at you. Because when you don't know how to use all this power, if you use it wrongly, negatively, it can give rise to a lot of complication. So everything boils down to understanding. When you understand, you will know how to choose the appropriate cultivation. When you don't understand, chances of going the wrong way is very, very great. Why? Because most people, they are selfish. They have this, what they call, great ambition in inverted commas. They want to become famous, but not through the proper way. So driven by greed, driven by that desire, that craving, they do everything. So all this is a result of the untrained mind that doesn't have the understanding of life, that doesn't understand the spiritual law of karma. That's why they dare to do all these things. So this is the aspect as Dhamma friends or Kayamita, we have the added advantage over other human beings. That's why as Buddhists, we are in fact very, very fortunate, very blessed, because we have this teaching that the Buddha has taught us, has given to the world free. So we should learn to understand it, then cherish it, then promote it, and use it to transform yourself, transform others and the world. But this is the only teaching that can really allow you to develop the wisdom to understand life. And when you understand life, you will know how to live life. Otherwise, you will get into trouble. You will entangle yourself in life. And you can never understand why life is so tough, so difficult, so full of problem. The word problem is like everywhere. But for those who have the Dhamma, there is no such thing as a problem. Technically, I use the word problem never exists. But people will never accept that statement. They will always tell you, in life, I got no problem. He said, you must be a sansin if you got no problem. Sansin means what? We translate as deva, but actually to them it's not deva. No? Sansin means like sen sien, sien, you know what is sien, enlightened being. So the sainthood people are called sen ren. It is to us like sien. Sien means you already go beyond. So all this, if you can have the condition to develop the understanding, it can really, really make big difference to your life. Because if you don't understand life, it's really, really miserable. Means you don't have the Dhamma. You don't have right view with regards to law of karma. You don't even know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. You don't even know what that consciousness, that mundane mind is all about. Then you don't even know that there is a form and mind, there is a true mind, there is a true nature. All this you don't even know. That's why you have a lot of avijja, ignorance. And the most powerful one is self-delusion, sakkāya-ditti. And that is the one that caught the living being. But the moment you have self-delusion, you believe you exist. There is a personality, an entity. And our society is such, the moment you are born, they label you. They identify you. We have gone through. Give you a name, birth certificate. Then after that, the education system all same. You go to kindergarten, you go to school, they ask for your birth cert, then they say, what is your name? Yeah. What is your papa's name, mother's name? Then, what is your parents' occupation? Yeah. So they keep on identifying you. Yeah. Then as you grow up, they say, you must go and do up a IC card, identity card. Then after that, they identify you again. Then you study, you grow up, they identify you again. You say, you need a passport already. So they give you a nationality, a passport that identify all your race, religious belief, and all those things. Then man or lady, male or female, gender, everything. Then after that, they also identify you to your job, your career. You are a teacher, you are an engineer, you are a lawyer. So everywhere is identification. Then you apply for a job. You take exam. Everything is about competition. The ego is there, the personality is there, the atta is there. So when this has been so strongly conditioned in you as a living being or human being, what happens is the egoic mind will create the greed. Because you want things, you want to own things, you want to possess things, you want to control things. That's how your evil roots of greed come to be. Your selfishness, your desire, your greediness. Then all of your covetousness. Yeah. And everything that is related to ownership become part of your egoic psyche. Yeah. And that's how human beings behave. So the evil roots of greed surface. Then when things don't go your way, you get angry. The evil root of anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, resentment, dislike, everything come in. Like the last Thursday, we went through the three evil roots. Then you realize when certain things happen, you don't understand. You develop fear, worry, anxiety, and there is delusion. So all this is a result of that personality, entity, self-delusion. That's why the Buddha summarized all of suffering as the self-delusion, that condition, attachment or grasping to the five aggregates of form and mind. That's why the upadana khandas, the five aggregates of grasping, lead to suffering, and that is the meaning. So all this, you can go deep into it and develop the understanding of it, because we have the teaching. And you really have paid attention, go through the systematic process, like three phases of Dhamma. Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. Once you have learned it, then you put it into practice, leading to Patipatti. Then when you cultivate and develop the awakening, you get to live the third phase of Dhamma, which is the most beautiful, Pativeda. You get to reap the fruition of your hard work. And that is how life becomes meaningful, beautiful, and wonderful. Because you get to live the life of an enlightened being, free of all suffering, no more delusion. There is only inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness and understanding. No more problem. The reason being, you will see things clearly as they are. Your thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. So human beings also same. Their condition like that, mind state like that, they will behave like that. Then you start to understand, these are reality of life and existence. Everything is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. That's why if I don't perceive any life situation or condition with negativity, then I don't have problem. But this is a reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. And I accept this reality. So, no more problem. At peace. But you say, no, gratitude. The problem is still there. Like disease. I accept this reality. But the disease is still there. So what? We already have the Dhamma. But this is the common reality of all mankind. You don't take care if your karmic DNA is like that. When the condition is such, the disease and sickness will surface. Then you got two choices. Get angry, become miserable or fearful, develop more suffering. Yeah. You go and worry about it. Create the thought projection. Develop the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety. For what? If you accept that reality means you are at peace. Well, this is something that has happened, like car accident happened already. What to do? Resolve it amicably through wisdom. You act with understanding. That's why when I accept, I'm at peace. My mind does not stir. Then I got clarity. I ask myself, what happened? Then I develop the understanding. Then I ask, what are my options? How can I resolve this amicably so that nobody gets affected karmic-wise? That is how the Dhamma free your mind. That's why it's never a problem. Whatever happens, you may think it's like doomsday is coming. No. It's just a reality. Like financial crisis. Or nature's disaster, when it hit, when it happened. These are nature's law, nature's condition. You are not the only one subject to it. But you have the wisdom and the understanding, you can benefit from it as well. You need not suffer. Nature is such. So knowing this teaching, understanding this teaching can transform living being. Okay? So I hope that answers your question, Angie. You can continue if you want. Otherwise, you can pass to somebody else. Don't worry, you don't want us to record, tell us. We will stop it. If it's something personal or something you want to share without letting people know, you can let us know. I will ask Brother Tiong to pause it.
It's very true that Buddhists are very lucky. We use our mental cultivation to look inwards and understand ourselves and the world better, to live a better life, you know, and benefit other beings. And I think the problem with maybe the world at large is because they don't look inward, they look outward, you know. So there's a lot of
discrepancies. Because when you look outward, you are actually attracted to the external phenomenal world of consciousness. So the external phenomenal world of consciousness is unreal, not what you think. So if it's unreal, impermanent, and empty nature, then you give meaning. Because you are attracted to the external phenomena, via your senses, or you look outward. You don't look inward. So there is no self-knowledge. There is no understanding of what is going on inside. It's always the inside that decides outside. It's not the other way around. So the deluded living being, they always experience the outside world. They hardly or seldom experience the inner world because they use thought. They are most of the time thought-based. And all this happens because there is this delusion that conditions them into heedlessness. So when you are heedless, you think a lot. When you are heedless, you are hardly mindful, hardly aware. Because the heedful never die. Why? Because the heedful is ever mindful, constantly meditative. That's why you are heedless, you are never mindful. It's the other way around. Then you are not in the meditative state at all. You are not able to even have the mind to meditate. So heedlessness is very dangerous. That's why the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21 is it the heedless are as if dead. Spiritually, you are dead. You don't stand a chance. So it's very clear. So your sharing is very good because people don't look inward. But when you look inward, you must use awareness to be aware. then only the wisdom arise. You don't go and look inward with the thought. You look inward with the thought, you know, you become one. Like the thought based on, I still got anger. I saw my anger. There is another thought, recalling the earlier thought of anger. Understand? That is not mindfulness. When you are mindful and aware, reverse the light and shine within, means you develop awareness from within. That's why awareness or mindfulness means from within, you aware of outside. Then from inside, when you aware of outside, all the movement inside, you will come to know. Because this inside movement is a result of your content of consciousness. Then you realize the human being, the five aggregate form and mind, without wisdom, it always act wrongly. Act with delusion, heedlessness. It doesn't know how to act. Where it act according to memory, views, opinion, and condition. And this is what most human beings do. Then people always have this problem. They always ask me, Bertil, if I don't act according to memory, then how to act? Because your whole life you depend on memory. Your brain, without brain you cannot act. You must remember things. You must have views and opinion, religious belief, conditioning, all that. Then you just act accordingly. And this way to act is like very easy. No need to learn anything. Because it's like habitual tendency. Then they think that is the way. Because everybody also like that. Right? Not only I get angry, everybody also get angry. Everybody also selfish. Right? You think only me. So if you talk like that, means the thought is telling you. But when you develop wisdom, the understanding, then you realize what the Buddha taught us is very, very deep, very powerful. The Buddha said there is such a law, nature's law, such as law of karma. And what is this law of karma? Every day we have to reflect. Not only us, all living beings, you see, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So you reflect on this, then you realize your entire life depends on karma. So what must you do? You have to take care of karma. Take care of karma means what? Follow the advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil do good. Then how to avoid all evil do good? Keep the precept. How to keep the precept? You must understand what constitutes evil, understand? Then you must have mindfulness, awareness to be aware of the evil root. Then only you can keep your precept. Then only you can develop the meditation. That's why sati is always required. Then the essential dhamma is very important. So once you have all this understood, then to put it into cultivation is very simple. That's the meaning of look within. Shine the light within. Reverse the light and develop the awareness from within. Then from inside, you become aware of outside. Initially, you become aware of your internal emotion, movement. How does anger come to be? How does fear come to be? How can I understand it? Then you stay aware inside. Whenever fear arises, stay there. And then find out, what is fear? If you don't do anything, you realize that fear ceases. Then you realize, fear was never me. There are two reasons. First reason is, before there is fear, there was no fear. Then when there is fear, I develop the awareness, it ceases. Means what? Fear is dependent originating, condition arising, not intrinsic to my nature. Then I don't have any problem anymore. Then I won't use that wrong word, isn't it? I still have fear. Meaning what? You deludedly associate with that fear, thinking that fear is you. Anger is you. All the evil roots are you. That's how the egoic mind become alive. Very powerful. It's only through awareness, when you go through the awareness, that transformation inside, then you realize the Buddha's teaching is so beautiful, so profound. That's why he says feeling is impermanent. Sankhara, mental emotion, they are impermanent. Rupang anicchang, Vedana anicchang, Sanya anicchang, Sankhara anicchang, Vijnanam anicchang. And because they are anicchang, they are anatta. Empty nature, not real, not a permanent unchanging entity. Then when you start to reflect and control, you realize all the teaching is so beautiful. They just stand up to investigation. And there is this faith, strongly enhanced, unshakable. There is this inner joy, inner understanding. Then there is peace. There is saddha, virya, sati. Then it will drive you on to cultivate. Once your spiritual faculty becomes unshakable, the mental hindrance ceases, and your mind is always in the meditative state, that's how cultivation can be perfected. And it's not difficult. It's very easy when you understand. But when you don't understand, you become gullible. You listen to this monk, that teacher, read this book, read that book, then don't know head or tail. Roja. Then what you do? I think this monk very famous. He said, use rising, falling, Buddha, use this, use that. Then you go and try everything without understanding. These are method and technique, nothing to do with the meditation. Then you become gullible. Which means you didn't investigate the teaching. You go into the patipati, cultivation without understanding, you become gullible. That's why they cannot develop the understanding. Once you have all this map out very clear, you will know what to do. Without sati, you cannot be mindful. Heedful. And when you are not heedful, the heedless are as if dead. Very clear. So whatever you do, start with sati. That's why saddha virya, the third spiritual faculty, is always sati. Once sati stabilized, it will become samadhi. Then only you can see things as they are to awaken, to develop the wisdom. So this is how the teaching manifests and allow you to awaken. So all this essential dhamma, if you cannot understand, or those who teach cannot understand, how can they teach you? Well, they themselves also don't understand. That's why they will teach you a lot of knowledge, theory, theoretical dhamma, and you cannot break free. That's why the initial year when I came out to share, I realized this is what is happening to a lot of cultivators. They don't have clear understanding. What is sati also, very few people understand. And what is apamada, heedfulness, also very few people understand. And the real mindfulness to see all this, and the essential dhamma that you have learned, or the Buddha had taught, you cannot link them all together. They came from all the right view. From there, it spin off and come out. And the basic right view is the Four Noble Truths, starting with the first path factor of samadhi, right view in regards to the three spiritual laws. Kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So when you understand these three, you understand the secret of life, that all the teachings spin out from there. I already explained many times that kama niyama bring about the advice of the Buddha, the cultivation, everything. Then citta niyama explain to you the working of the mind, how you function as a human being, dependent, originating, dwelling, everything. So when you understand this, you know how you get into trouble. Everything starts with avijja. Because of avijja, your mind still creates mental activity, pachya sankhara. Then sankhara make contact with the brain, create consciousness. Then when consciousness arrives without wisdom, right view and understand, you input the wrong content. That's why namarupang, five aggregate of form and mind, this becomes grasping aggregate. Then because the namarupang, it has the sense basis, salayatana. Then the Buddha said, dependent on this sense basis arises contact. Dependent on contact arises feeling. And feeling without wisdom, you will condition craving. You cannot stop. That's why I say you cannot cut a feeling. Without wisdom, it will be conditioned into craving. That's why you need so manasikara. Wisdom, initial wisdom at the moment of sense experience to ensure the mind doesn't stir. Means feeling remain as pure feeling. You can be with the moment of feeling, stay there away. No movement at all. That is the power of the Dhamma. In the daily life, your mind can just be like that. It's just like you aware, then no need to use effort. The Dhamma understanding and wisdom will allow you to cease the mind. It will not be drawn and entangled. Then the defilement, the moment it surface, arise, that understanding straight away will cause it to cease. That's why you just say, Rupang Anicang or Sankara Anicang. So the Yoniso Manasikara is the wisdom at the moment of sense experience. When that sense experience come out, before your conditioned mind come and input the content and stir, now it cannot stir. Well, this wisdom come out first. Then it straight away know. All these are unreal, impermanent, lead to suffering. That's why empty nature or existence. The phenomenal world is a world of consciousness. It's an illusionary world, not what you think. So this wisdom is so powerful, the moment it arises, your mind will stay equanimous. It will not stir. It can accept the reality of the moment at peace, everywhere, every moment, every instant. That is how the cultivation is to be developed. Without that wisdom surfacing, you cannot act. You cannot deal with life. That's why you act with wisdom, means you act with this initial wisdom. Then later when you awaken, the third turning wisdom is so potent, so powerful, it leads to complete awakening. Means that stability of wisdom has become so powerful, it will insight into phenomena and awaken. The mind that awakened, that wisdom is very penetrative. It will pierce through all delusion. It's no more first and second turning wisdom. First and second turning wisdom, if you develop it to your past, means in the past you have cultivated before. Then through the first and second turning, you can realize the enlightenment because you have done it in the past. So you inherit from your spiritual nature, it will lead to that insight. It will awaken straight away. That's why people with past cultivation, when they come, when they hear truth like Hui Ning, immediately he awakened. He no need to meditate. He just hear the truth, he awakened. Then like my nature when it came, my teacher moved the hand like that. My nature awakened to the three characteristics. How can it be possible? Because this one has done it before, and it has connected. The daily mindfulness is very stable, and the essential Dhamma all understood. That's why the moment it arises, the silent mind awakens. Yeah. And all these are possible. So whenever it hears truth, it understands immediately. Yeah. Like this, like I English educated. I don't even have any Mandarin base. But how come the Mayana teaching, my nature can understand? Especially Heart Sutta, Surangama Sutta. And even the Wu Liang Shou Jing, Wu Liang Yi Jing, the Sutta of innumerous meaning and the Sutta of infinite life. Yeah. And all these are very, very unique Mahayana Sutta. Not easy, even for cultivator. To really develop the ability to understand this Sutta, you need really, really high level of cultivation and perfection. Okay? So look inward, you have to understand, is awareness, mindfulness. Otherwise, it turns out to be words. Yeah. Then if you don't have it understood clearly, you don't know how to do. Yeah. So the essential Dhamma which I have gone through with you and together with the Avijja Sutta, the 10 steps, you follow the Avijja Sutta, I realize it's easiest. Because the Avijja Sutta is very clear. And as Kayamita, the first three you already have. A lot of the Kayamita who are very serious, the fourth and fifth also they have already. Then six and seven is automatic one, very fast. Then after that, when they do the four foundation of mindfulness, they transform it. That's why I used to tell you, sainthood way is very, very easy. Not difficult at all. Then after that, you have the condition. You want to plant the Bodhi mind, plant the seed of Bodhi, to walk the Bodhisattva way. That is the most beautiful. You can perfect yourself further. You can develop much, much deeper understanding of the teaching. Yeah, of the possibility of the human mind, yeah, our nature. Yeah. So it's just like what the scientists came to know. Our human ability to use our brain. You know, even very intelligent scientists like Einstein, all those things, do you know how many percent of their brain they are able to utilize or not? More than that. Not more than 10. You can make use of your brain 8% and above, you are very good already. Because the rest is consciousness, the self. It's not thought. That's why this great thinker, scientists also, yes, they think when they are very creative, with a clear mind, and they are very passionate about their study. They really think deep into it with a clear mind. I remember last time when I studied Form 4, Form 5, Form 6. You can be so attentive in your study. And I can just like whole day do my maths and science. I don't feel boring or tired. I had joy when I study them. Because there is so much thing inside there. And I realized my mind can concentrate and focus, but there is study. But when it comes to Dhamma, it's different. You have to go beyond that. So consciousness is much higher than what the scientists has gone in. They use their creative mind when they are most creative. Means the four bases of success, the 37 factor enlightenment, you remember the first four? The first four. First one is what? Chanda. What is Chanda? What is Chanda? Passion. Your passion. That thing that you like so much. You will go all out and study it. So because of that passion, they cannot be sleepy. The mental hindrance cannot disturb them. It's like they have this great passion. It's like they like this so much. It's like a faith that drives them from pursuing, understanding. That's why they will think deep into it. But this one still involves thinking. Do you understand? That's why they can only reach about 10%. The rest of the brain, when it's completely silent, the brain, without thought, then it arises the awareness which is beyond the brain. And that is the one that scientists cannot penetrate. You have to meditate. Because without that one, your mundane mind cannot collapse. It will obstruct you or obscure your seeing. It's like the sun's ray that shine forth towards our planet. How come not every day is sunny, clear, bright sky? Even sunny, also a lot of clouds. And what are these clouds? These are the things that obscure the sun's ray from penetrating. So what is the thing that obscure your true nature from shining forth? your mundane mind, with what? With all the emotion, with all the thinking, with all the stress, the various type of activity that is going on inside there, that heedless thinking, that fear, that worry, that emotion. So all these are the ones that obscure and block you. And your whole of your mind, mundane mind, is caught in all this mundane activity. That's why it can never be aware. You can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with all these emotions, fear, worry, existence, anxiety, sorrow, anxiety, and lamentation. So all this is what that holds you, prevent you from developing the clarity of mind, to be aware, to be with the moment, to have the inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness, and inner joy, to develop the wisdom and the understanding. So delusion and awakening is just the flip of the hand. When you understand, you awaken. When you don't understand, you are caught in all this mundane activity, the world of consciousness. The five aggregate of form and mind is so powerful. That's why you keep on clinging to it, holding on to it, give meaning to them. That's why they can cause you so much suffering and misery. You keep on creating all the wrong thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, the evil root, your frustration, your sorrow, lamentation, your unhappiness, your deep resentment and all those things. All this come about through ignorance and delusion. Okay? So with that, hopefully you all can develop deeper understanding. And I realize now, the single sharing of any class, the whole teaching not only lay out for you, it now can connect you to all the essential understanding. So that you go back, listen to all this attentively and write it out. Then you will map it out and you will realize that it's actually so easy. But because you never get it understood, you don't know how to go about doing the cultivation. I give you one example, you will know. This one is a very simple example, but you will know. Our Bodhisattva vow, the yellow card. If you have done it every day for 3 or 6 months, and you develop a clear understanding of it, without the card, you can write them out right there. And all this, you can remember them. Then you will know what that vow is, understand? If you have not done it, I ask you not to look at the card. You try to write it out. You can't even write it out. Even the 4 basic vows, you find it very difficult to remember. That means you are not serious. You don't have the faith. You don't have the virya. You don't have the ability to reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding. If you have the understanding, the moment you read each and every of those aspiration vow and the 4 basic vow and all those things, including the blue book, you read the blue book, all the explanation is inside there. Then everything becomes so clear, so beautiful. So the essential Dhamma is the same. If you cannot write it out, you cannot really develop the understanding of it, how are you going to cultivate? Understand? You only read like a parrot with a card. Once without notes, without book, without any support, you are blank. That is what is happening to cultivators who don't understand. And they always use thought through memory, try to recall. When you understand, that's why every day I teach, I never prepare. How come? This is not knowledge. This is from the nature. Because it has understood. It don't need memory. It can just share like that, anywhere, any place. That's why any question you ask me, I can answer you. So this is how you should go in and develop. That's why be patient. Patipati, phase one. Go into it. Understand it. When you understand, you move, you progress very far. When you don't understand, you move, means what? You think you know. You think you're doing vipassana. That's why all the greedy cultivators do that. Oh, what is vipassana? Not rising, falling. If they don't know, means not vipassana. Like that, how to cultivate? Essential Dhamma also don't know. What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha also don't know. Dhamma Pada verse 21, 22, 23 also don't know. The healers are acidic also don't know. So the most important thing about cultivation is what? Heedfulness. Before the Buddha passed away, he again reminded the monk, strive on with heedfulness. Apamadeda, sampadeda. So what are you doing? Are you cultivating heedfulness when you do your meditation? First, you must understand what is heedfulness. To be heedful, you need to be what? Huh? To be heedful, you need to be what? Ever mindful. Dhammapada verse 23. To be heedful, you need to be ever mindful. Plus, constantly meditative. Constantly meditative. What is constantly meditative? Yeah? Means constantly cultivating the meditation. And what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? Yeah? Means constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. So if you know heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, what must you do? You must train your mind to be mindful first. Sorry, yeah, this one should be ever mindful. Yeah. So the moment you are ever mindful, then you are home. But to be ever mindful, you have to train your mind to be mindful first. You understand? And this is what the Buddha meant. Start with anapanasati. Train your mind to be mindful of the in and out breath. He never say focus. He never say note. He said breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Means aware of the in and out breath. That's all. No need to do anything. No need to chatter inside there. Am I doing it correctly? Have I entered jhana? Have I developed piti, sukha, paasati? Forget about it. You are just to train your mind to be mindful first. Then after that, you have to stabilize it to be ever mindful. That is what you're supposed to do. You ask most of the meditator how you start. You never understood this. You try all the method and technique without understanding. Do you realize? This point, is it clear now? So everything you do about meditation, you ask yourself that question. Am I training my mind to be heedful? To be heedful, what must I have? I have to be ever mindful. So the first criteria of meditation is, am I training my mind to be mindful? Then, am I able to stabilize this? How to stabilize this? For anapanasati, you have to do until the anapanasati becomes so fine, so still, until the mind stops, like no more breathing. Means you realize paucity, the tranquility of mind, the stillness. When you hit that, only is ever mindful. But you are only ever mindful in the formal meditation. And you still need to take this out into the daily life to have sati sampajana, means daily mindfulness, ever mindful in the midst of life. Where the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead. If you only mindful when you are in the retreat or the formal meditation, the moment you come out, you go back to square one, then what is your chance of enlightenment? The moment you are outside, you become heedless again. The heedless are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. You have to be heedful all the time. That's why ever mindfulness, including your daily life. This is the part you have to do. And to do this, you need initial wisdom. That's why you need to listen to the Dhamma. Constantly reflect, contemplate. The website is there. The audio file are there. The transcript is there. The explanation is there. All this, when you have really attentively listened with the faith, you will have a lot of joy. The sadha become very strong, and you write them out, and it become very clear. And the moment you are clear, how long do you need to make your mind ever mindful to develop daily mindfulness? You only need the first and second turning initial wisdom. Develop that. Contemplate, reflect, inquire. Like what I share with you. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand all this? The first noble truth, second noble truth, third noble truth, fourth noble truth, the first turning, second turning, third. Go through it. We are in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. The Buddha mentioned very clearly, even he himself last time as a bodhisattva, he need to understand the four noble truths in its three turning before he can claim that he is the enlightened one. The Buddha also has to do that. You think you're more special than the Buddha, no need to do. Where got such thing? If the Buddha has to do, you would have to do more, a lot more. True or not? Then after that, cultivating Noble Eightfold Path is another big topic, understand? You have to start with right view. Why did the Buddha say the law of karma is right view? The law of mind, citta niyama, karma niyama, dhamma niyama. To go into it, all the essential teaching, the essential dhamma. And all this can be understood. That's why in the early day, I reflected, I contemplated, and all this become very clear to me. That's why after that, the way I meditate very different, very unconventional. I never follow anybody. And the anapanasati just come to me, and I just know what to do. I was exposed to rising falling too in the early day. I joined Sister Jing Yin's class. And that time only Burmese book most of the time. Seldom you have Thai tradition book until later on Achan Cha's book came. But all this is not important. Because when you are not gullible, for me, I want to understand what I do. If I don't understand, I don't want to start. Yeah. So very funny, you know, I think that time I remember during the mid-80s or what, I remember. Mi Feng also attended the class, I remember. Sister Jing came there, I remember. The first few meditation class, he asked me to report. I never report rising falling. You know. I report anapanasati. Then I say I was so calm. Everything was so... She got very excited. You know. She kept on asking me, you know, so what happened to your mind? How do you feel? And I was like, why? Because she can never do it. She can't do it. Then later on, many years later, I went to this Wat Hima Peng, this Long Po Tet. I saw the two of them there. Sister Jingke and the other girl, the Wisdom Center one. Mi Cheng, or don't know what Cheng, I forgot already. We met them there. You know what they told us. Well, I was so lucky. This Braku, he happened to take us around, and he's the nephew of Achan Tet, no? Long Po Tet. No? Long Po Tet that time, 90 over years old already. It's near to Wat Na Long there, Wat Hima Peng, near to your Wat Na Long. Then he passed away already. But when he was 90 over years old that time, I went and met him because the nephew was there, and he went and seek his permission. He allowed all of us to visit him. And the driver that fetched us on also can never believe. He almost fainted. He said, you people are so lucky. Then we pay our respect, we make our offering. Then after that, we come out. I met the chief disciple, which is the acting abbot. Then he was with that lady, I think. Jingking went with another lady, the Wisdom Center. Then she also recognized me. Then we talked. Then the monk asked. Then I remember four or five of us were sitting there. One couple was, the wife is a nurse in UH. The husband also passed away already. What is his name? I forgot already. The man passed away. Then five of us were there. He asked each and every one to report how we meditate. No? So So I just say I develop the daily mindfulness. I develop awareness. Then I come to the understanding everything is not real. Even the five aggregate of form and mind is not real. You know what he said after that? He told all the four of them. He said, he did the correct one. He pointed to me. Yeah. He said, he has the understanding. He did the correct one. Then the four of them quiet. Because they all describe different things. I describe daily mindfulness. I say I can be aware of many things. Yeah. Then he was so good. Do you know what he told me before he left me? He said, listen, finally, the five aggregate of form and mind also not there. Wow, I sadhu him straight away. I say, yeah, sadhu. Because I knew what that thing is. Who can say that? Unless he has done it. And why did he say, I'm the only one who did correctly? And later on, I found out from that lady, I said, why you all come? You all were from the Burmese tradition. He said, don't tell anybody, but I'm telling you. But never mind, long time ago. I think 1989 or 1990. How many years ago? Huh? 20. More than that, I think. 89, 99, 10 years. 2009, 20 years. 30 years. You know what they told us? He said they were advised by the monk in Burma that they follow. They say you cannot progress further already. You have to go to Thailand. Learn that type of meditation. That's why they were there. And that time, Longpot Thet was very famous. He was the first line disciple of Achaman. So that was the thing that happened. And the way you understand is different. Because for me, I check everything. You can tell me whatever you like, but if I don't have that understanding, I will not even try and start. It's not going to lead me to the ultimate understanding. That's why I have my past to help me. At that time, my wife was with me. She can testify. A lot of things actually happened. Then, very strange, all the monks that I met, they look at our group. They know it's different. Then they always look at me. But the way I conduct myself very different. My mind was so calm, so still, and I was fully aware. During that time, my awareness was like automatic. Throughout the day, I'm aware. In the midst of office, I'm working also aware throughout the day until I reach home, until I sleep. But I did my religious routine. That's why this one need to be developed through understanding and with the faith, sadha virya. You go all out, you will make it. Because this era, this window, this satsana is very easy. So must have the faith. And just do, don't try to know. It's like something you see very important. You know why I move that way? Because to me, this is the most important thing. If I don't understand this teaching, I cannot awaken, I don't know how to live life. Then not only I suffer in this life, no. All my future coming, I have problem, no. At that time, in 1971, I have that understanding. That's why I go all out and look for the teaching. And that time, I only need somebody to tell me what is the mind. Nobody can tell me until I met Ajayendra. And later on, of course, all the other guide and teacher. But the first one that actually helped me was Xuan Hua's book, the Surangama Sutta. And later when he came, after I take refuge, a lot of funny things happened. 1986, I remember Kuan Yin came with the message. That's how from that point onward I move, non-stop, continuous cultivation after that. Inside, the thing already new, must move. And Kuan Yin's message very simple. Not much time left. You must move fast. The message is just like that. She poured from the vase. The moment I saw that vase, I knew it was her. But it was an old lady, white shirt, everything. But in a place which is very colorful, very bright. Then he held out my hand, poured the tree from the vase. It's the triple gem. Three of them, the bowl. Very beautiful. He just opened up my hand, pour one by one in a straight line. He said, not much time left. You have to move fast. Just this message, though. And I immediately wake up. Then I knew. Straight away, I prostrate, pay respect with gratitude. Then I say, I will move. That's why from that day onward, I go all out to cultivate. Because the message came. Yeah. And very funny, you know, immediately after that, the book comes, the guide comes, the teacher comes, everything comes. That's why that saying is very good. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Yeah, very true, very true. Yeah. So all the conditions just fall into place. Yeah. Okay, I heard the alarm. So 10:30 is up. So thank you to our birthday girl, Angie, for creating the condition for today's sharing. That's why Sui An is correct. Better record. No matter what it is, if we don't need, we delete. Sometimes, if we don't record, we miss out what is being shared. Okay, let us now rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will do the sharing of merit, transfer merit. Then invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you make your aspiration. Akasata Chabumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Ita Wata Chamehi Padan Punya Sampat Sabbe Anamodantu Sabasampati Sidiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hitoja. Fito bawatu lokoja. Raja bawatu dhammiko. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy one that we had. So today we got a special candle for Bhattiga. A very nice lotus candle. Okay.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu,
Jingyao also brought some special satay. You all can have satay.